recording.
Evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's August 8th regular city council meeting. And now, if you'd all please rise for a short private invocation. Asking for God's blessing upon this city and wisdom for our city council as we make our decisions tonight. And now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Item 1D on our council agenda is citizen input. Is there anyone tonight who would like to address the city council? Is there anyone on the call tonight who would like to address the city council? Okay, hearing none. We'll move to item 1E, which is roll call. And I'll note for the record that all council members are present. Thank you. And now I'd like to move to the approval of our agenda. I will say, I'd like to just make this side note that Talia was stuck in traffic on her way back from Moses Lake, and she's the first item on the agenda. So she said she's 5 minutes out, and so we may move the agenda, at least the order of the agenda, around a little bit. So as long as you guys are okay with that, I'd entertain a motion to approve our agenda.
I'll move to approve the agenda with the mayor's discretion on how to reorganize the items to accommodate the meeting.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we'll move to our consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So I think we'll go to item 4C first, which is the resolution waiving bid requirements of a sole source purchase. And Sean O'Brien, are you ready?
Yeah, we're there. Okay.
Yeah, we're there already, yeah.
So, Council, what you have before you is, I guess, a description for a resolution which allows us to do a sole source. It authorizes a sole source procurement by adopting the resolution. With our city obtained a complete streets grant, where we're looking to complete the decorative lighting down Main Street. And with this project, where we in the past we've done it a block at a time, and it's been done through the Rotary Club, since they've always purchased the poles and supplied them. We're trying to complete this all as a city project, and they have a long lead time, and we think there's also some benefits of ordering the large mount all at once. But instead of, if we include it in the project, whether we have to wait to advertise a project, select a contractor, sign contracts, then they have to submit the cut sheets on the materials, get approved before they can order them. We think these probably have at least a 90-day, up to 120-day lead time. I've been trying to contact the manufacturer to get information on that, but by us ordering them ourselves, we avoid the contractor having a markup on top of them. Plus, we can get them ordered here right away and get them coming while we work on the plans and specs and then bid out the project and get contracts signed. We can be working in parallel with getting those poles here so that by the time we're ready to do the installation, we actually have the poles on site. So for us to, there is only one manufacturer of these. I'm trying to confirm that there's only one wholesaler or one supplier in our region that supplies these, so there is not any benefit of going out for a bid and getting competitive bids because they're all coming from the same location. So, but for us to do that sole source, we either have to have a policy in our code, which we do not have, or we need to pass a resolution for a specific purchase. So what you have before you is that resolution. If you have any questions, I can answer what you have.
Is the grant going to cover all of them?
No, I don't believe so. I think still trying to get, I haven't got all the answers on when we applied for the grant. I don't recall what the dollar amount was.
We applied for, I think it was 400,000.
There was an option of 200, 300, and 400,000, and I have not been involved with what we got awarded.
Yeah, we got awarded 320,000.
320,000. So out of that 320, I believe 60,000 was for our traffic signals, and 20,000 was for striping bike lanes. And so that would leave, if my math is right, $240,000. So that'll about cover the poles, but the additional, the installation will be, have to come out of our budget. I don't, do not believe so.
No, we only remember in the past, we would put, the way this worked is that the beautification committee raised the money to buy all the poles, and then the city would
install.
We would give the beautification committee $25,000. Caleb Booth volunteered his electrical time. The Doug Pagram volunteered his the concrete work, and what was the other component? Dave, you?
There's the directional drilling.
And so the city only contributed 25,000 a block to do that. And so
70,000 a block to put them in.
And it cost 70,000 a block to put them in. So now this has become a city project, and where we had people volunteering and stuff in the past, now we're going to have to pay prevailing wage to have it installed. Seventh down to Second Avenue, top of Second Avenue.
So that's coming down to 370,000.
20 more poles.
So if it's 70,000 blocks, so we have six blocks to go.
There's five blocks. Second to third to fourth to fifth to sixth to seventh.
We already got a preliminary bid at 250, so we're going to have to go to bid.
And these lights will get all the same, they're all going to be the same as over there.
Yeah, the stresscrete. The stresscrete was chosen because it's pretty durable. There's stresscrete poles that are out there that have been there for over 100 years that look exactly like the brand new ones they install next on. Yeah, and they're very durable for.
I mean, we're asking for
maintenance friendly for graffiti and such.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the reason, since we're matching the existing one, that's one reason why it's a sole source. It's not something where we can bid out and get several different ones. Right now, we're just getting approval to do the sole source. I'm still trying to gather costs to figure out how much this is really going to, how much we're going to have to expend to complete this project. I don't believe the grant is close to covering all the costs, but we will not move forward with ordering them until we bring that project to council to say.
I read it as you were wanting to buy them now.
Well, we have to go through this process to even consider doing a sole source purchase. Yeah. It's such a large project, or such a large amount, it has to be bid out unless you
designate
get one of the specified exemptions.
Well, I think obviously there's going to be situations that we're going to come across where this kind of situation arises, where the sole source is beneficial to have in our bag of tricks. So I think I would like to make the motion to approve the resolution to authorize city staff to use sole source procurement process to purchase the street lighting materials for the Main Street project.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, Talia. We're now going to move to item 4A, which is the ARPA funds and grant update.
Okay, let me see. I have some changes really quick. Could you read down the Yeah, there you go. All right. Okay, thank you, Council. And I apologize for my delay. Sports camp materials, and there's traffic in Moses Lake. So to get started, as we mentioned in the last meeting about ARPA funds, is that we were expecting to get our second tranche, and we have received it. So in total, we have received $2.3 million of ARPA funds. Just keeping this slide in all of my presentations, just of the eligible uses for ARPA funds, although we now do have a little bit of more flexibility because we did do the standard allowance, and now we could really spend the money on pretty much anything we would from our general fund. But we want to keep in mind these eligible uses and try to be cautious of how we want to spend ARPA funds. So these are our current expenses and allocations. I went ahead and added some of the most recent expenses that we did. So for example, the Council Chamber streaming, surveillance cameras at Lions Park, the Othello Food Bank request from last week, the gang intervention mentoring program, and then the City Hall remodel for a total of $797,807. And then with a total left to spend $1.5 million. So there are two other items that we are recommending City Council to approve tonight regarding some other ARPA expenses. The first one is the road grader, and then Police Chief, I'm not sure if you've already spoken about it, but or he's going to be speaking about it later tonight, about the police body cameras fleet for a total of $112,840. I think Spencer, the mayor, could speak a little bit more on the road grader expense. I know that that was brought up a couple meetings ago where they were talking about purchasing a road grader. Council approved that. Spencer wasn't here. And after further discussion internally, we decided that it would probably be in the best interest of the city's budget to allocate $100,000 from the ARPA funds for the road grader. So I don't know if you guys want to add anything to that.
No, I think Council, we remember we discussed it would come from so like four or five different budgets. Mm-hmm. And
water, sewer.
Water, sewer, streets.
Street, water, sewer, solid waste.
And solid waste, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a $247,000 purchase. $100,000 of it, the staff is asking the council to approve $100,000 of that from the ARPA funds. And then this is what the allocation would be, Spencer.
I just put something together quickly here. This is based on the streets and the usage that we get out of this grader based on this fund, based on the mileage. In the city of Othello, we came up with this allocation here. So here we have the total grader, $250,000. If we had the street, water, sewer, solid waste funds, getting burden on the rest of the funds. And so that is, that's my recommendation.
Thank you.
So we are seeking council approval tonight for that, Mayor?
We don't have a motion in regard to that. If you want a consensus to put together a motion to come back to us to vote on it, then...
No, you can make a motion tonight.
So I have a question. Why does the sewer have more percentage than the street? Because the road rate would be used more on streets and alleys.
So here we have payments, access to manholes, alleys, or the snow treatment plan. These are items that we came up with in discussion with our public administration.
Higher fund balance budget too.
So I was talking to you earlier, I think you should put a higher percentage in solid waste.
But I was thinking too, no, we will.
Right now, we're budgeting $25,000 a year for entryways. That's an entryway, but now it's near. So there's that $25,000 that's already sitting there.
Actually, there was an entryway put in between, on 10th Avenue, between Juniper and Spruce.
That's when we did some sidewalk or construction or something up there, but yeah.
Yeah. That's the last one I remember being done, and that was last year.
Well, couldn't you shift some of the alley snow removal over to solid waste from sewer?
We can.
Could.
Yeah. So ultimately, we have to justify this to the state auditor. Mm-hmm. So.
So this was our justification up here based on the miles.
Mm-hmm.
That they use in the
I'd like to preserve as much sewer money as we can. We've got some well-needed projects that happen there, and so I'd like to see that percentage come down. That's
So
you justify solid waste by plow now, because there's some alleys that's going to happen. People are using alleys like it's going out of style for parking in their yard now. The alleys, there are some really bad alleys out there that need to be plowed, or not plowed, but gridded. So I think you can easily justify putting more on solid waste.
Well, if it snows.
Yeah.
You got those big drifts and stuff.
It's a battle every year. And the biggest battle is when the snow melts, because it all stays there and it freezes. And it keeps that snow out of the way.
So we can move 25,000 from
what we can. I
think that
it should go to 25.
Or move that.
Move that 25 from the 67 to down to the 9.
Right.
I think that's
42,000.
So this will be at 42,000 and this will be 34,000.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys already approved the purchase, so we just need a motion to see if you guys want to use this new allocation.
Why didn't we write up the motion? If we knew this was going to be asked of us tonight, why did we not write it up? It doesn't say anything other than going over the ARPA funds. And now you're asking us to make a motion to approve $100,000 expenditure on something we already approved.
We're just trying to figure out how to take one.
Yeah, it's just the matter of the allocation of the funds.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is there's nothing in writing that's asking us to do that in front of us. And you're saying that that's okay, we can just make it a verbal motion and approve it.
Yeah, council action is all that's needed unless...
Without record of it.
No, it's, there is record here on the, in the council meeting.
But the motion, wasn't put in front of us to, ponder and decide.
Okay, but we, can make a motion anytime.
All right, I don't, you know, I'm just saying, formality-wise, are we doing things right?
Just the verbal discussion is all that's really, because we record the meeting and the motions that are paid regardless. We should have put something down in writing. It would have been much easier to follow.
And we will have this all.
But just if one councilman, if the council as a whole says, yes, we want to do this, motion, aye, second, aye, all day, may, even that kind of, ultimately, that's all that's needed.
So, but, it will be transcribed into written form.
Yeah, in a minute.
For the records.
Yeah, and that's what matters.
Okay.
I'll make the motion to take $100,000 out of ARPA funds to the developer.
And change.
The allocations.
And the other, allocations that we discussed tonight.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The police and body camera one will be, come under Phil's section.
So, just right now, if council has any other things that they would like to discuss regarding ARPA funds?
I have a question. That was brought up during budget time. Has anybody taken any kind of look at all towards a solar panels or generator or engine far wells? We discussed that a little bit during budget time and you didn't have ARPA funds.
Probably need a generator, Corey. I don't think a solar panel could power it.
A few years ago, we had talked about solar at the turn all of our wells solar. And we were supposed to get prices back or talk about money on it and it just kind of disappeared.
But I just didn't think
it came back.
The last time we talked about it was at least 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
And we just, it didn't pencil. And it didn't pencil at all as far as going solar. Remember, they were trying to go solar and so the council decided at that time, they made a decision that they didn't want to pursue. So now, yes, I still continue to have different companies contact me and say, hey, you want to go solar? And do you have any needs and project needs? And one of the things that we brought up in committee was about this VFD on well six. And you can start into your emergency and resiliency planning. What could we do? What would happen if, you know, we had a disaster here in Othello? You would probably empty the water towers we have in probably 24 to 36 hours, is our guess. And so how would we be able to continue to supply Othello? And so would we need a diesel generator? Would we, you know, those are all issues that we need to work through and develop. We just haven't yet, Corey.
You know, I'm not set on solar, but we need to have a backup there. I bring up solar because as green as our government is right now, both the state and federal government, there's got to be something out there just.
Well, are we going to be able to put enough panels out there to run the motor? That's a lot of power.
Yeah, it's a lot of power.
You look at the panel on a home and then the power is nothing close to what.
Yeah, the KW generation from the solar panel.
Yeah,
it's nothing.
You have to wrap around the power.
Yeah, we need some backup. Yeah, we need some backup.
With solar.
Well, and solar.
You have to, save that energy in the form of a battery.
Yeah.
It has to go into a, you know, some sort of a cell that can be used over time. And it's usually reduced in voltage. You know, you take a 110 voltage and reduce it to 24 voltage.
I think solar might be great as a cost savings. Because like John said, you have to reduce it over time
and, but when it comes to backup and drawing fully on that, I think that you're going to need something other than solar. I think you're going to need a diesel generator or something that's got full power immediately, you know.
Low-pressure gas systems are pretty good, natural gas, propane generators.
And we're going to have a way to feed that generator. Remember, we're talking about a disaster, so we're not going to go to a diesel pump and fill up.
Well, if you lose electricity,
that's
right. If you have a disaster and you lose electricity, as long as it's not an earthquake and the gas lines aren't broken,
that's why.
Well, if you lose electricity, you need to bust the pipe down the river. It's a disaster in the unit. The gas pipes are.
But you could also have propane or natural gas, low pressure gas system.
Propane would be the way to go, but are they going to be able to deliver during that time? So it's all like, what do you do?
Well, and you got to think.
Or
there's going to be a lot of confusion.
Well, it's either put in a thousand pound propane tank or a 1,000 gallon diesel generator.
We're probably going to be emergency management is going to have those discussions, and somebody who specializes in that. The city's probably going to want to start some kind of rationing where they have, you know, access to water this time.
But that's all to be hashed
what
out.
What do other cities do? Do they have a backup?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what we have to look
there
at.
There ever
for.
Is.
Oh,
it can be covered.
He said that Wenatchee, that mountain out of Wenatchee, which is like the most dangerous mountain in out of Chelan, just north of there, the most dangerous mountain in the nation or state is showing some grumbling and starting to raise eyebrows. And
which one is that? I can't remember what mountain that is.
I'm trying to think of the name of that. Yeah, it would be
Stewart? The Stewart Range?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the most.
All right.
Well, we'll take that into consideration. All right, so I just wanted to provide the council grants update, just the grants that we have currently, and then just some that we've been kind of looking at that we might want to consider. So first, these are all the grants that are currently in progress. We still have the ASR pilot testing phase two grants out there, and we've submitted reimbursements for those. They are just still in the process of getting reimbursed to the city. We still have the SRO COPS grant. The Safe Routes to School programs for Ash Boulevards, we're actually submitting reimbursement to close out the project right now for the full amount that's left. And then all the other, or the Hawk Main Street as well, we've already submitted some reimbursements, and then we're just waiting to get some reimbursements back. And all the other ones are still kind of in the beginning stages. So for example, the less than lethal equipment, when we first applied for the grant, we were hoping that we would get 19 pepper ball guns. But things have changed. We're not able to get all 19, so we're kind of trying to see what we're going to supply with the grant and how we can modify it. And then the active transportation plan is currently in motion, so is the connectivity trails, safe routes to school programs for Scutney and 14th. The wastewater system facility planning, that has really just become a bigger project than just the facility plan. Therefore, we're waiting for the project just to be completed to submit the final reimbursement and close out that project. We finally got a contract for the YAF basketball drain courts for $350,000. We're still waiting for RCO, the LWCF, and the WWRP for the playground. So those are still pending. From what I've heard from RCO is that hopefully we have contracts by the end of September, because their budget season is coming to an end and they need to have all of those contracts out before then. The Housing Action Plan implementation, Ann is working on that one currently. We have a consultant Complete Streets, as Sean presented earlier today, we are working on getting some light posts and getting in motion with that project. And then the SEEK Summer Sports Youth Camp, talking to the fund or AWC and OSPI, it looks like it's not considered a grant. It's a funding opportunity, but we look at it as a grant for $430,000 to do our summer sports youth camp. And as I'm sure some of you must be aware, we are currently on week three of our summer sports youth camp. We've heard nothing but positive remarks and feedback. I invite the council to please come and check it out one of these days and just see how it's running. But overall, it has been a really, really great experience for just all of the age groups and the youth here in Othello. We have over 500 kids registered. Today, we registered an additional 50 in person. And we're also impacting an additional 60 kids who we hired that are between the ages of 15 and 21 years of age. So it has just been a very positive experience. I would love to give you more detail if you wish. But I do invite you to come out to Lions Park any of these days. This week is baseball and softball. Next week is hockey and basketball. So that's going to be a really great experience.
Out of curiosity, Talia, is that a perpetual funding opportunity from year to year? Or is this just the first year? Because like you said, it's a huge success out there. And definitely hate to not provide that opportunity next summer. The smiles and the laughter walking in there, it's great. This year's sports season in Othello is definitely memorable, and I'll probably won't ever forget it. It's been a great one. And so I'd like to make sure that we are, if that's not a perpetual, that we're looking for something else or lobbying or something to make sure we can do this again. And the fact that we were able to provide that no charge to the city residents was phenomenal as well.
Yeah, thank you. Unfortunately, it is not a year-to-year thing. We would have to reapply for it if WWRP, AWC, and OSPI provide this funding opportunity again. I know that each year they provide some type of funding. I don't know if it's going to be in the amount that they did this year, but they are using ARPA funds to create the SEEK program this year. So what I'm hoping is that with their second tranche, they probably allocate the same amount to the SEEK program again, and we get the opportunity to apply again next year. The other thing is I am making sure that the report that we submit back to the SEEK funders of what a success it is. I mean, videos, photos, even personal statements from parents and other members of the community that have realized that this is such a success, so that they are encouraged to provide another funding opportunity like this one. So I'm hopeful that they do that again next year. But as of right now, no, it is not something that we're gonna get again for sure next year, unless we have another funding opportunity that we can apply for. The other thing that I could just mention is because we got this grant at this significant amount, we have been able to purchase, so much equipment for our Parks and Rec department. So in the event that we do this again next year, and let's say that we can't get that big of an allocation, we at least will have the equipment and the materials to be able to provide some sort of summer camp at a lesser cost to the city or to the funding agency. So that's something that's been really great. Just the other day, we went and cleaned up and organized the Parks and Rec building, and the amount of balls that we have now. Football, soccer balls, volleyballs now, something that we've never had. We're now gonna have full hockey equipment and basketball hoops and basketballs, so that's gonna be really great for us to have. So we have quite the inventory now.
Thank you, Talia.
And then just the last one, I just wanted to just provide, the grants that are pending approval at this moment. The YAF futsal court and restroom renovation for $350,000. The LWCF and WWRP spray park lighting and walk trails, we have our final presentations for those two grants on August 23rd and 24th. So that's what we're going to be doing for those on those days, making sure that hopefully we get funded this round as well. And then just some grants that are available. I have a call scheduled with Andrew from TIB regarding the UAP program. Last year, we applied for Broadway, trying to renovate the the road of Broadway. When I was in the process of the complete streets funding, he shared some feedback, letting us know that the reason that we may have not been funded is because we didn't add a sidewalk component. They want to make sure that all of our streets are connected and there is multi-use of transportation on anything that we create. So he gave me that very valuable feedback. So tomorrow I'm going to be talking to him so he could tell me, give me some feedback on how we can restructure our application to hopefully get funded this time around. And then the last three are actually some new grants that are available. So just to touch base on what Councilman Erickson shared about the Summer Sports Youth Camp, there's actually a grant available from RCO. It's called the Outdoor Learning Grant. And that one can really be used for any type of sporting program, anything that kind of like what we're doing right now, our Summer Sports Youth Camp. They do have different requirements, so I'm gonna have to do a little bit more digging and talking to our new Parks and Rec coordinator to see what we're interested in applying for and what kind of program we want to build with an application. The No Child Left Inside is actually a little bit different than the Outdoor Learning Grant because the No Child Left Inside is more of a program for them to explore nature. Right, taking them out to the outdoors to learn about the wilderness and just a different type of experience that is not sports related. So we thought that would be something really interesting. Once again, I would go over that with our new Parks and Rec coordinator. And then the last one is Planning for Recreation Access. This is a planning grant, and maybe it's something that we're not going to be interested in applying for, but just as a consideration, it is a planning grant for us to be able to do some community engagements and other meetings or also processes to try to find out what our community wants in our Parks and Rec department and what kind of ideas they would like to see from us. So this planning grant gives us the resources to be able to develop a plan to do so. So these are just a few grants that I've been kind of looking into, and you'll hear back more if we decide that this is something that will benefit the community of Othello.
Okay. Any questions, City Council?
Thank you, Tilly. Appreciate the update. Okay, so let's now move to item 4B, which is the Axon Police body cameras, fleet cameras, and digital offsite storage.
Mayor and Council, thank you. I've hesitated to bring this item to you. We budgeted $32,000 during the normal budget to replace our body cams. The cost isn't anywhere near that. So to put it in perspective, we have 11 body cams currently that we're hot seating. So basically when an officer comes in, they grab one and they put it on, and when they end, they put it in the charger. And so those keep going. 15 of our 16 patrol cars have car cameras in them. Only 4 of them are still eligible for warranty. So our warranty, or not warranty, service contract. They're end of life. Some of those are at least 10 years old that I'm aware of. What we were hoping with the body cams is we could continue with WatchGuard, the company that we've been using for years. They were bought out by Motorola. They're using much the same pricing scheme that Axon is using. And they don't have the state bid. So we would have to take it to bid to try to get a cheaper solution. So we reached out to Axon. Axon has become pretty much the state standard. They do hold the state bid. All of Grant County, Adams County, are And most of the Tri-Cities agencies I'm aware of are using Axon body cameras. Now, what we're proposing is 13 cars be outfitted with these, with car cameras. And the car camera actually has a forward-facing camera as well as a cage camera that's facing the back of the police car. And that's so we can make sure that that the person in the back is safe and that nothing is happening that's inappropriate. The front-facing camera is often for evidence. So it's what we see in front of us. I mean, obviously, it's not going to catch the sides. The body cams, our policy is the officer turns it on whenever it's safe and as often as possible. So if it's beneficial to turn the body camera on, our officers do. At this point, our body cams are being held together with duct tape and rubber bands from what I'm seeing with my officers. I've tried to drag it out as long as I can to find a better solution. I cannot find a better solution that I feel good bringing to council. So to try to offset some of those costs, because this is a five-year agreement, Taser, the total package is about $56,420 a year for 5 years. Now you can see why I've hesitated to bring it to council. That takes care on year three, the body cameras are replaced with new ones, and we continue with that. At the end of year five, moving into year six, if we continue with this, the car cameras would be replaced. So we've narrowed it down to the 13 cars that it would not include our detectives or admin vehicles, that is just patrol cars and school resource officers, because that's what we feel is most mission critical to record. And then with the body cams, we're actually proposing 18 body cams because they're actually assigned to an officer, and that becomes the evidence flow of that officer. Now, Taser also provides all of the video storage as well as the redacting software that we would need. And it's an all-you-can-use, all-you-can-eat for the price solution. So what we're proposing is the first two, to try to help reduce the cost, is the first 2 years be paid with ARPA funds, and then the years 3, 4, and 5 would go most likely public safety tax or a combination of public safety tax and or general fund. So that's the proposal in front of council. I wish it was something I could stomach better. But this is a mission critical tool that our officers need. Whenever we get a complaint on an officer, the first thing we do is look at the body cam, and it usually makes the complaint go away. Definitely most prosecutions are asking for our body cams and our car cam video. Any questions?
We're showing a reduction in crime in the city of Othello, correct?
We've had a pretty substantial reduction of crime since 2014. Well over more than half of our crime rate has been reduced. When I came here, it was about 150 crimes per thousand. It's about 70 crimes per thousand now. Sure.
So this is including unlimited storage.
Yes.
So what is the time frame that you have to keep those for public records?
There's different public disclosure requirements depending if it's just transitory day-to-day recording. Body cam, I believe, and this is, I'm just wild guess, I believe that's about 90 days, where I believe car cameras are 120 days. Now, evidence becomes much longer, depending on the type of crime.
Well, my question was going to be, at that end of that 5 years, what are you going to do with all that video?
We're in a constant state of purging. So when an officer goes to a call, they flag the case or the incident with a case number or a citation number, if it's relevant. If there is no reason to save it, then they don't flag, or they mark it to be discarded, then at the end of that public, or that retention period, it would be deleted or overwritten.
I've got a question. So does this set us up to basically continue to roll these in the future?
Yes.
So that they're budgeted and we don't have to worry about,
we would be paying.
Oh my God, we've got to replace all of them again.
That part, and that's, I hate, and you guys know I hate coming to council to do that. All of the majority of our car cameras were bought at the same time. All of our body cameras were bought at the same time, which puts us in this bind where we're trying to replace them all at the same time. What this does is, we are paying $56,000 a year for 5 years. We are guaranteed these 18 cameras with an extended warranty to be available and replaced. And at year three, they're replaced automatically. So then, you know, we continue on, and the same thing goes with the car cameras seem to last significantly longer. Mm-hmm. So a 6-year replacement or end of life on those seems to be reasonable. Considering the ones we have been going 10 years plus.
Chief, you said right now 15 to 16 patrol cars have?
Yes, we have 18 cars total. The admin don't have recording, but we don't really do a whole lot of traffic stops. We've had one unit go bad that we didn't replace. And so I believe we're paying maintenance. We're paying maintenance on 4 of them, but I believe that the ones that we can't get maintenance on or add up to be about 15.
Okay. So is the 13 that we would get, it's all patrol cars that they would go into?
That would be all of the patrol cars as well as our 2 school resource officers.
Okay. Further questions, Council?
I'll make a motion to approve these agreements.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Now we'd like to move to item 5, unfinished business. Council, do you guys have any unfinished business tonight?
Streetlight on Broadway and Main.
Sean, do you remember? We talked about that in the staff meeting. So I forgot what that is.
I've inquired about it, but with Kurt being the new public works director, he's having to ask who does our traffic signal programming and stuff. That signal, that intersection does have loops on Broadway. My suggestion is that we have that intersection rests on green for Main Street, but then trips when a car comes up on Broadway and go with a longer, you know, as long as there's cars going across the loops, they stay green. But I don't have any answers because nobody knows.
Is Broadway busier than Main Street, that intersection?
Can I answer some of this?
Yeah, I worked with Terry on this years ago. The issue that we were having is the loops in the ground weren't working correctly. Maybe they are now. But we were having trouble with trucks always trying to make it through the light. So we chose to shorten the amount of time the north-south traffic had to get through a light. So they had more red light time. The idea being we want the trucks to stop. And so we didn't want to give enough time that 5 trucks would be able to barrel through, and maybe a 6th and a 7th driving 40 miles an hour and causing accidents. So we tried, so we prioritized the traffic going east-west, giving them a longer green, and the north-south getting a shorter green and a longer red. So doing what our city engineer has recommended, if we're resting it green east-west, so Main Street has priority and that trucks are generally stopping, that will be the safest, and that's what we were trying to recommend, is to try to avoid the trucks barreling through, try to get through yellow lights.
So the reason I bring this up all the time is because I use that light every morning going to work. I see people cut behind the old Napa building.
Yes.
I see people cutting through Norco. They'll do whatever they can. They'll turn and flip the U and then go. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff in the morning. I've seen people sitting there and they just get impatient. They just go through the red light. You know, if there's three trucks sitting there, only two of them are going to make it through the light right now. One of them's going to have to stay for the next light, if they do it right. But they're not, because they're just going to go through because they're tired of waiting. And I mean, I could go a different way to work, but that's the easiest route for me. You know, I can go down Main Street or I can go down the side streets, and I actually see people going down the side of the streets too. They'll go up to First Street, go over there, and then go back up Main Street, or they'll just go up. So it's a safety issue either way. But yeah, the truck's going fast. The cars, you know.
One would keep on the arterials. I mean, that's what these traffic circles and
but
all that.
What is the classification of Broadway? Is it classified as a truck route? Lee Road is.
Well, it's an arterial. I don't.
I mean, we should look into that as far as the classification, because there's a lot of truck traffic on that road, and because of what is out at the end of that road is the reason for it. And it connects, you know, Highway 26 and Highway 24 to Othello.
A few aspects of ancient warfare are more conducive. That's what Siri
thought you were
asking.
Ancient warfare? Yeah. That Siri was saying that.
But anyway, I'm just wondering if changing the classification of that street would give us funding advantages when we do, you know, grant stuff in the future.
Okay, it's an arterial. I mean, we're kind of going off the topic of how to get Broadway and Main Street. The first step for me was to try to find out how is that signal programmed. Is it just on a timer where it's going through? And I can't get any answers. Nobody knows.
Wasn't Bill Burke the one that used to program those?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Bill used to program the street lights.
Bill Burke is
refrigeration. Bill Burke's refrigeration. He's on Broadway.
I think it is a. I think it's a timed light that it's actually set up for a certain amount of
and
minutes.
And Chief gave this information at the council here in the last year, is about changing the east-west traffic as a longer signal, and the Broadway is going to be a shorter one. And the reason was there was a lot of complaints, especially from businesses that are on that corner, that these trucks are coming too fast through the intersection and they're not paying attention to the lights. And so that's what precipitated us making that change. And we talked to the council about that.
Yeah. And I get,
we made a decision a long time ago.
Shorten up their time because if you got two trucks side by side, by the time you put it in first and get going, you're going to turn them yellow. So it makes a lot of sense what you're saying. And if your sensor is going east and west, are we sensor going east and west? That means it senses a car, it's going to stop them from moving.
It's all on time.
So we got more time going east and west, and less time going north and south.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's, I know there's a lot of traffic going down Main, but I think it's the opposite.
Well, just
especially in busy times, like right now, harvest time, it's not good.
Make Main so it's not as long as sitting there for 2 minutes.
Yeah. And I kind of get where Sean is coming from, because I worked at Public Works years ago, and I remember watching in the fall the truck traffic going 50 miles an hour down Broadway constantly and going right through that light at the very end of lights. And so I understand where they're coming from, but I also understand we don't, you know,
we don't want people having to sit forever and driving and taking shortcuts through things. Yeah. Yeah, they're not.
Well, I can attest to this one, Fourth Avenue. That is a raceway there.
Yeah.
My daughter just bought a house there, so I've been on it a lot, and then I live on the other end down there. And there was cars, I bet you there's some of them doing 50 miles an hour at least half. And not a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of people going fast.
So the most efficient way to program a signal is to use the loops. I mean, if there's 10 cars stacked up, it stays green and gets those 10 cars through. And then if there's cars tripping the next site, it goes to that and lets them through. If there's only one car, and you, I mean, you don't want it timed for 20 seconds, if there's only one car there and it's through and you start stacking up cars.
If our loops are working or not working.
And loops.
If our loops aren't working, how much is it to replace those so that we can get it working?
It used to be $1,000, $1,500, maybe $2,500 now, $3,000 at the most, but you need to fix those. Your signal does not, and I just, it's very low on my priority of things that I'm trying to figure out, and because I don't think anybody on our staff does the programming. I don't know if we use Western. Yeah, there's companies out there.
There's got to be a contract.
I have not.
So last year I had Bill Burke, like Gina said, Bill Burke used to do the programming a lot. Last year I had to have some air conditioning work, and he was not happy because he said he didn't get a contract. So it's not Bill Burke. He used to do it. Right, right. But there has to be, he was talking just a couple of years ago that he lost that contract. So there's got to be a contract with someone that would do
the. Or with somebody.
It would have had to come up.
Ever since I've been here, I've never heard anything about a contract for signal maintenance or signal programming or anything.
Maybe
so,
it was just let go.
And
I'll tell you what, let staff go back. We're going to check through to see if, you know, have we paid any bills with regard to that bars code for traffic signals, and if we have, we'll identify who that is, and if I think, you know, I remember we had a traffic study at that intersection, but that was only for the speed limit, as you recall.
And it counted the amount of vehicles that were going back and forth. East and west, north and south.
And so there's some data we could bring back to you guys, and you can take a look at it. The thing is that, you know, making a more equitable time frame. I mean, I was here, Dave Sproul was talking to John Erickson and I before the meeting, and he's talking about 14th and Main, and the same kind of thing. So we can have that discussion and put it on the agenda.
I think that would be a good thing. Just out of curiosity, since we're on kind of the traffic subject, we have the traffic circles. When are we going to be seeing the data come back to us on that study?
So the traffic counts, which counted both the speeds and the volumes going through, were taken in October of last year. Mm-hmm. So the goal would be to take them in October of this year to match up.
Okay.
And then the DOT, in the past, they were always within a couple of months with their accident records. I called them in probably July because all they had us was with two accidents in January. And so they were quite a ways behind, and they said, oh, this bunch were just entered. I checked, we were still sitting on two accidents. And then a couple days later, he said, oh, they hadn't been input yet. So they had numbers for the first 3 months of the year, whether that whether March was actually complete or not, I don't know. So it'll probably be several months into 2023 before we have the accident data. But in October, we'll have the data to compare the volumes and the average speeds. which are two of the three components that...
And numbers.
Yeah, the volumes and...
Is there any other unfinished business?
Population signs at the entrances.
Up there by the kickstand where that large sign is, that wood sign, it was leaning at one time. Did anybody get that straightened up?
Check about the church.
Yeah.
I think that's something that needs to be taken down.
Yeah.
They had the new frame, the frame for the new directional signs, but next to it, but...
Yeah,
and I remember it leaning, but I don't remember if it's still leaning.
No. We could have moved the STCB.
It's like leaning towards the east. Like it, the wind was pushing it over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's get some more work for Kurt. More. Well, he's not here.
I think it just needs to be taken down. I think it's dangerous sitting the way it is. It's a hazard. Okay. Any new business, council? Got a couple of things. First one is Thursday, we have a blood drive from 1:15 to 3:30 here at City Hall. The bus is going to be parked on the side, and there's a link on the Facebook page, so if you want to come down and donate blood, that's always a positive thing. The other item I have is that the farmers market's going to begin this Thursday through every Thursday only through October 6th, starting at 3 p.m. in front of City Hall. So that's starting up again.
City Hall?
Yeah. It's where they had it last year.
Swing by and get your, you can swing by and get your produce. Sometimes food, sometimes drink.
Sometimes the Seahawks game.
Sometimes the Seahawks game, that's right. So, having no further business to come before the council, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:03 p.m.
Put in a rear guard, you'd be...
Turn it into a mini October.